Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You might say most often there were human-like men dressed in street clothes. We would just turn around and they would be standing next to us or, you know, or a little behind us. A few times I saw a man come walking out of a distorted atmosphere.
Hello, this is Wendy's Coffee House. I'm Wendy. I want to give you a background on John Foster. He's an experiencer. He's 84. He has been allowed to remember his experiences. But the difference between John and some of the other experiencers is his background as an engineer. He's a retired research and development electromechanical engineer with experience in nuclear, aerospace, fluidic, civil, and commercial fields. His story indicates ongoing contact designed to influence and manage human affairs. He flew a craft. They helped him. They put him in the driver's seat. He has seen other people frozen while his activities continued, and others around him totally oblivious. This is the power they have. The visual aspect does not explain the subconscious mind influence on our reality.
I was shown what I was to do in later in life, especially during the late 40s and throughout the 1950s. I time traveled with who I call the familiar strangers, same people on the craft every time a friend and I or a relative and I got on the craft.
John Foster, the website johnfosterufos.com. I've talked with John before, but I wanted to get back and revisit some of this stuff. This morning I went outside. The stars above my house are in a square, and I'm like, whoa, I haven't seen that. I've seen triangles. This morning it was a square. So I watched the square, and a plane immediately flew across, and then there was a satellite that went through. And then there was a little bright white flash. I believe in my heart, the way that I work with this, that was acknowledging that I'm talking with you today. And
oh, wow.
That's how it works for me. I mean, there's the synchronicity of looking up and having the little flash. I've done that before when I thought I was looking at Mars. And so I'm taking a picture thinking, okay, it's red. I took the picture, my camera flashed, and the thing I was looking at flashed red back at me. I'm like, well, okay. Mars is active. Hi, John.
All right.
How are you?
Hey. Okay. It sounds like we're connected with whoever.
I think so. Your books, there's so much content here, and you have pictures. You also posted a video of one of the UFOs that you see. And I think that's extremely helpful. Are these impressions still for you as fresh as they were when you had the experiences years ago?
Not quite. I'll be 84 this year in October. And if I take time, I don't have any distractions, I can mentally go through almost all the experiences from front to finish and re-experience it in my mind from second to second. Of course, I realize that, I probably don't remember everything, but it's like living it all over again. Sometimes it's shocking. The experiences were shocking sometimes, but the thing that was really shocking was when I recalled everything. Then when I was asked to go public, that's when I had the heart attacks and heart surgery and so forth.
You still have had some contact. You've had UFO sightings, and it hasn't completely gone out of your life.
Right. Although they haven't been, there weren't a lot of them. There were some, and also both my daughters have had sightings. My son, not so much, but I thought that was significant. The one time, which was, would be about 14 years after I had my Florida Park elections in 1986 and 1987. My one daughter came into the house and said she just saw four or five UFOs fly over the house.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, if we go out again, they might fly by again. So she and I went out. My wife and other daughter didn't want to go out. They were scared, I think. So we went out, and then sure enough, they did fly by again. That explanation is on my website on the homepage overview of John's encounters.
You have an extraordinary amount of documentation on your website and in your books. For someone who is an experiencer, this is a gold mine.
Well, that I figure is my assignment from whoever they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, we'll probably get into talking about the project and my role in the project. I was shown what I was to do in my, later in life, especially during the late 40s and throughout the 1950s. I time traveled with who I call the familiar strangers. Same people on the craft every time a friend and I or a relative and I got on the craft and we flew off into the future. We stopped at different times and locations, primarily in Nebraska, and we were shown and told what we were to do in the future.
That correlates right now with what's happening right now.
The one of the main reasons for shutting up the project was the familiar strangers and I were to build buildings, use existing buildings, and set up a program to help immigrants that would come into the middle U.S., at some time in the future, and that included especially Central and possibly South American orphans. This all came out in 1986, 1987, from most of it from, let's see, it would be later August or through September into October where it started, and then it was just a flood of memory that came in. It kept going until the 1st of March of 1987. I tried to record everything or at least put down some notes to what the location was, who was with me, and just a word or two about what happened. And then I knew I could go back later and review that and find out more details about what had happened during each encounter. And so the project, so I had all of those memories in 86 and 87, and then just unusual circumstances, I met those people personally in early spring of 1987, and it was just, it was shocking. And we, as we talked and exchanged information, we found that although we couldn't establish for certain, without a doubt, that we had taken the same time travels, we were shown and told some of the exact same things that were down to sometimes in the scientific evidence, you might say, the scientific details. One particular outstanding piece of evidence was an invention I was given to develop, and there was another person in the familiar strangers group that her father also was given the exact same information. The particular buildings involved were identified would be involved. They also were already using. And
how many people were you able to connect to this?
Well, normally when the craft showed up, there would be 8 to 12 human individuals on board, and then I was always with a friend or relative, and normally just one person, and the two of us would get on board. And most often, and I can't think of any time that we spoke to the familiar strangers. We spoke to each other, but not the familiar strangers. So, you know, you could spend some time trying to figure that out. But we heard them talk to each other. And there was always, a lot of times there was a voice involved, like speaking from midair in a certain place in midair, or from a cloud, or from a distorted atmosphere. And the voice would explain certain things to us and so forth.
Did other people that you knew from this group, did they also check out of the program, or how did they connect this?
Yeah, well, several of them have already died. Now, I met the people in 1987, and it was so shocking and so awesome that we would get together sometimes three times a week and try to figure out what was going on. And they were already adopting Central American orphans. They would go down, they would get some kind of a spiritual or metaphysical message, and they would drive down to the border in Texas or New Mexico, I don't know for sure, and they were to pick up a person, the voice or whoever talked to them, gave them the name of the person they were to pick up, so they and where to pick them up. And so they would drive down, and sure enough, there would be that, for instance, a boy or a girl, and they would start the proceedings of adoption, bring them back to middle Nebraska, and a family would finish the adoption and so forth, and then take care of them from then on as if they were their kids. I was given, on the time travels, I was shown certain buildings. I was to be involved with the design and constructions of buildings, and particularly one building which was to be the first building we would build, and I was given detailed information and shown the specifications for the building in extreme detail sometimes. And it was similar to, was it Moses that was shown the temple? Yeah, it was Moses, I think, that was shown the temple, or Moses' son, David, that was shown the temple. Anyway, if you go to the Bible and you read that particular passage, it almost explains exactly how I was shown how to design and construct the first building for the project.
That suggests that whoever these familiar strangers are might have been around a lot longer than just recently.
Oh, yeah. My encounters indicate that, they just flat out came out and told me that they had been active in prehistory, which would be before written history. During the ancient Egyptian empire and during biblical times and more modern times. So that from what they told me, they have been here forever. Yeah. As far as humans are concerned, that explains a lot of things in history and sociology and psychiatry, in history and all areas of science.
In the books, you describe some beings and their physical attributes. Can you share that? Because this is what I think is fascinating when you actually have contact with someone so different. What was that like?
Yeah, you might say most often there were human-like men dressed in street clothes that we would just turn around and they would be standing next to us, or you know, or a little behind us. A few times I saw a man come walking out of a distorted atmosphere. Now, one thing that's puzzling is that there were not women, and I don't know why. At other times, we met what I call tall lizard-like beings, and they didn't look like the scaly reptilians that have such a bad
Yeah.
It was a smooth skin, blue-gray, and they were the kindest, most gentle of anybody that we met. And then there were...
Did they speak? Did they speak, or was it telepathic?
I think it was all telepathic when I communicated with them, although I can't say that for sure. But it was definite. I mean, it was strong. We... At first, we're startled when we saw them, but then almost immediately we recognized the calmness and the gentleness and the caring, you might say. Mm-hmm. And for instance, there were a few times when they tried to teach me how to pilot the craft. how to steer it and make it go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me it was by just thinking it forward. Well, now that tells you a lot about the phenomenon, I think. It's something other than physical, although a lot of the phenomena was physical, so there would be an overlap of not physical and physical. Twice, at least, I remember clearly that during two completely different encounters, they tried to teach me how to fly the craft, and I sat on their lap, and this was the tall lizard-like, and there was a control console in front of me, but I didn't have to touch the control console, but I just would think to move it forward, and it would move forward, and that sort of thing.
Do you remember how old you were at that time?
One time I was 15 years old, and then I was grown. Annie and I were married, and I believe we had the three kids, and I was hunting with my father, and so I would have been 22, 23. The one outstanding encounter took place in 1975, I believe, or 76. I think it was 75, and our whole family was involved, including my father, at Dillon Lake in Colorado. And I don't believe we ran into the lizard-like beings there. But at any rate, there were two other types, you might say. One was a shorter, more mischievous lizard-like being. Then there were small, what I would call more alligator-like beings, who I was told are in charge of my lifelong education and development. And you might say protection, because I've somehow been protected most of my life, except for illness, which means, the heart attacks and so forth.
John Foster, the description there of the ETs, interdimensionals, transdimensionals, others that he has encountered, and we'll continue.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
John Foster doesn't have all of the answers, but he has insight about what is going on and what has been going on before recorded history until now.
There was a alligator-like creature that manifested out of a pocket of fog. I heard the voice speaking, which was coming from a little different location nearby, and they told me that they were here to change humankind, and the way they did it was to enlist help from people like me.
Our minds, our consciousness, can be influenced, redirected, repurposed. John Foster, UFOs.com.
Experiencers have reported witnessing healing or being healed. Can you talk about that?
Not necessarily as you might think, healing through a doctor or hospitals. The Bethany Grade School Playground Encounter, which is Chapter 2 of Imminent Discovery, Volume 1, I was taken up into the craft, put on an examination table, and they went out of their way to explain in extreme detail the features of the surgery light above the table, and I was laying horizontal. The only reason I figured they did that now, because I've been on surgery table so many times, but they actually told me at that time that they were looking at my legs, and they said I would have varicose veins in my later years, and as a matter of fact, I would have heart attacks and heart surgery, and that the veins of my legs would have something to do with that. I've had bypass surgery, heart bypass surgery, and of course, they used the veins in my legs to do the bypasses and so forth. Anyway, that was 1950, and I had my first heart attack in 1988, and then surgery right after that. So that was, 38 years later. Yeah. So anyway, then during that encounter, they took a device of some kind that was up towards, it was in an enclosure up towards the ceiling near the surgery light, and they brought a device down and they placed it in my lower abdomen, and I felt a strange sensation, and I don't know what that was for, except possibly it might have been something to do with my children and mm-hmm. the birth of my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe they changed my genes in some way, something like that. That's the only thing I am speculating that I can figure out. Because my kids are all involved also, and my father was involved, and I believe my mother was, although there isn't any hard evidence of that. There's one other thing I wanted to say about the healing and so forth.
Yeah.
Many times they would put me in a craft, or most often an elliptical shaped object that looked kind of like a tent or the tent like object. And they would tell me to turn around and face the door, kneel down and face the door. And then I would see a light come up about to a foot in front of my forehead. And I would start, as it was approaching, I would start feeling excruciating pains in my body and my head. And it got so intense, sometimes I would yell out that I couldn't stand it anymore. And they would tell me to hold on, that it wouldn't last much longer. And then the light would pull away, and sometimes I would see it hovering outside of the object, the elliptical shaped object, and the forces and the pain would gradually fade away. At least a couple of those times, and I can't remember for sure, they let me exit the object, and then I found myself floating a foot or two above the ground, and then other things took place, you know, during the encounter.
Do you have any idea what the purpose of that was?
Well, during one of the first encounters I had, I was 2 or 3 years old here in Lincoln, living in a different house. And they took me up into Hubbard. They took a neighbor boy and I, who was not, the neighbor boy is a little younger than I was. I was 3, I think, or 2. They took us up near what I call the large object, which kind of has a futuristic airplane fuselage in the front, and then a big rounded body in the back. Anyway, there was a alligator-like creature that manifested out of a pocket of fog. I heard the voice speaking, which was coming from a little different location nearby, and they told me that they were here to change humankind, and the way they did it was to enlist help from people like me. And they went on to say that we would have to fool some people because some people didn't like change. They made it a point to point out that that would include some of my relatives, like aunts and uncles and cousins and so forth. And they said we would have to fool them also. And then that encounter is explained, I believe, in it's either chapter 4, 5, or 6 in the Imminent Discovery, volume 1.
What was going to change that people would be resistant to?
Well, people are resistant to, almost everybody's resistant to change because they need to feel stable and safe. And when something happens that challenges their philosophy in life or their well-being, you might say physical well-being, they resist the change, or they try to figure out how to stay the same, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's the unknown. They fear the unknown. One thing to point out is if this happens in different ways to other people, you almost have to develop a confidence in whoever you're dealing with. And you have to be sort of, you have to analyze it as well as you can so that you can either accept it or reject it. And if you reject it, you go on about your way as you were. and you don't change, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason, what you have in mind is probably, you can say it better because I can't think of words sometimes.
Yeah. The sense is that because of their involvement, when other people hear about that, it scares them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think for anybody that's religious out there, anybody that's a Christian, I have gone through days and days and hours and months of thinking, investigation, rationalizing, and so forth. And I'm almost definitely sure that this is at the base of the Christian religion, and that the voice who I heard was God, or it was one of the archangels, Michael, or Gabriel, who was involved in my encounters also. And so I think there needs to be a sort of a rationalizing. In Christianity, for instance, you have fundamental Christianity where people will die before they will expand their understanding of what they were taught when they were younger. And then also in Christianity, you have people that go way out and speculate on almost everything, and it gets away from the original text and so forth. So there's a whole spectrum in there of interpretation. So I think experiences like mine, and possibly yours also, is to try to explain in more detail and in a more experiential and scientific way what was written in the original text. And if you do a historical study on the original text, it wasn't all of a sudden created at one time by one person. It was created by a number of letters and a number of recordings of people that go way back to the beginning. There were certain times when the churches were developed that there were authorities that were set up that would accept certain things and they would reject certain things. For instance, Constantine, when he had the Council of Nice, he would accept certain things, but he would not accept reincarnation, for instance. But if you go and investigate other writings that are beyond what's used for the original text of the Bible, you find that there are letters, original letters, that were connected to Christ and also other religions that talk about reincarnation and in very different ways and what it means in different ways. So for me, it all boils down to the fact there's been a tremendous amount of investigation, rationalization, and proof here and there in different ways to validate the Bible, to validate spirituality, to validate what we know about life and so forth. And for me, it boils down to the fact that if you can establish a pure motive within yourself, for instance, which I believe is almost perfectly described by the entity of who we call Christ and the words of Jesus and some others also, that it's a good way to approach life and a good way to live. In other words, for me, I communicate with God, the prime creator of the universe, who was allegedly the father of Christ. And so I listen to, or I analyze, probably I spend more time on what Christ said rather than spend a lot of time going into other investigations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, it's love, respect, pursue, put faith in the Father, put faith in yourself and your relationship with the information you get through your reading, through yourself, through your psychic abilities to receive information from the universe, or however you want to put it. I think the New Age during the latter 1980s and throughout the 1990s, I think went a little too far in some ways and established certain concepts that I don't really agree with. And it's all super complex, and you can make it completely complex and investigate all nooks and crannies of human knowledge. Or you can lean back like my wife and you just live life spontaneously. And what comes to you, if you have pure motives, is the truth. And that's feelings. That's your feelings, a higher knowing beyond your physical body, beyond your emotions. It includes your emotions, but there's something higher that gives you a higher knowledge. And if your motives are right, you know, you can't go wrong. It doesn't, for me, it doesn't matter where you go, what you do, but your life is as valuable as anybody else. And it's super valuable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Pretty soon you have to quit talking because you just have to know, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And my wife is a perfect example of that.
In the next segment.
When the craft showed up, the animals definitely knew it. They would shy away. We had one horse at the ranch who would almost fall to the ground when the craft manifested.
And we'll cover that in the next segment with John Foster. His books, Eminent Discovery, Volume 1, UFOs, Living Within and Beyond the Five Senses. Eminent Discovery, Volume 2, UFOs, Living Within and Beyond the Five Senses. Different stories, different accounts, different experiences. And then To Earth from Heaven, UFOs Affecting Science, Religion, and History. The Unseen Influence on Our Consciousness and Our Civilization. JohnFosterUFOs.com. Thanks for listening. Stay curious.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.